Welcome home. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively doing something wonderful next week. We're going to be featuring 100 charities here. We're not doing Radio Row anymore, and this next guest is a part of Radio Row many, many years as a Super Bowl champion and visitor. We're doing Crab Cake Row here next week. We're going to begin on Monday at Fadley's. Tuesday, we will be at Costas in Dundalk. Wednesday at Coco's. Thursday at State Fair in Catonsville. I'm wearing my State Fair shirt. Friday, we will be at Pappas. We're calling it a cup of soup or bowl. Doing this for the Maryland Food Bank. If you come out, we're going to give you a free cup or bowl of soup, Maryland crab, cream of crab, 50-50. They got chicken noodle on the menu at Pappas. We'll do that as well. That's all next week. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. Featuring 100 charities, you bring the goods for the Maryland Food Bank. We give you free soup. And then you buy your crab cakes and we'll cry in our beer because the beer's cold and we win here. I don't know what it is and we lose. You know, I spent all last week booking radio this week thinking, I'm not going to Radio Row. I'm not going to Vegas. Who would I see in Vegas next week that I won't see that'll be there because we're there and the Ravens are there and they're an alum. And Matt Stover is our defending champion around here. We have become like friends in the real world since his playing days. Imagine that. Well, we're the same age and we have so much in common. I don't know what we have in common, Matt, other than we both, but you're human and we're brief. How are you? And I you're going to be some voice of reason through all of this because you lost big playoff games and you won some big ones too, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I tell you, Nestor, thanks for the intro. And I appreciate that. You know, when you look at, what I've been doing, of course, I was having a great time yesterday.
Right. A lot easier when you don't have to kick the ball, right?
I wasn't stressed out. It was fantastic, right? And I really enjoyed it. The Ravens did a great job of bringing, you know, Todd and myself, and I saw Jared Johnson and Ray and Ed and all of us. And so they're doing such a great job. Matt Little and his staff there. So, you know, the connection there is really important. You know, I've been out 13 years. Can you believe that? 13 years I've been away from the game of football. And 2008 was my last year. And if you recall, the last game I ever played for the Ravens was a loss in the AFC Championship game against Pittsburgh Steelers. I hate the Steelers, but it happened. And what does that feel like? It's the finality of that game where you get back and you get to your house and it's like, ah, dang. You know, how it's so hard to get to the AFC Championship game and then you get beat. And we did get beat by the Steelers that year and pretty good. And this game, it stings hard because the expectations that this team had the great defense and had Lamar matured enough to be able to get us there, right? And I didn't see neither one of them, the defense playing as well as they should have or could have, and then Lamar as well. It just didn't happen yesterday. And I'll tell you, the game plan for the Kansas City Chiefs was excellent and they executed better.
I thought there was a game plan of chippiness. I covered a lot of hockey, Matt, before you came along. And this pregame skate and going out and getting into the heads, they make movies about that stuff.
Yeah.
Spagnuolo and Andy Reid and Dave Tobe know John. They know his strengths. They know his weaknesses. Yeah. They know his temperament. They know the player's temperament. They've seen Lamar pounding the ground when things don't go well. They know this isn't an adversity machine here. Like getting behind – They have not really come from behind. So to see what would happen when that happens, but more than that, kicking around Tucker's field goal-ish, I needed to talk to you about that because I would think as the young skinny kicker there that barely looked like a football player, you're pretty fair game in the other end zone 20 minutes before the game. The guy – I bet you got called a few names, Matt. Probably. I'm guessing,
right? I got
in
the way a lot of times. In fact, there were times I was kicking over the Baltimore band, you know, many times. They're in my way, like, get out of the way. I'm trying to get warmed up here. I think what happened there is that it was Tucker's time to be on that part of the field. And, you know, Kelsey and they felt like they weren't done yet or whatnot. And Tucker was going, dude, it's my turn. It's my time. This is what's on the pregame schedule. Cause there's a legit pregame schedule when we're allowed on the field and we are supposed to get the field. And I don't think that the Kansas City Chiefs really felt like that was true. And chippiness is true. When people would always say, well, they're grown men. Why does it have to be so emotional? And what does that? No, it is an extremely emotional game. And the ones who can capture that and make it a positive, like what we did in the Super Bowl 35 era, you know, with that team, we loved it. We were kind of boisterous about it. And the team, I'll never forget this. When I was playing for the Indianapolis Colts in 2009, the year after I left here, and we were in the Super Bowl, and we were walking out of the tunnel, and we had the the New Orleans Saints, you know, coming this way, and we were both coming right and meeting in the tunnel and going out at the same time. They were chirping. The New Orleans Saints were chirping like none other, and we were just quiet. We just sat there and whatever, guys. You know, you don't know what's going to hit you. Blah blah blah. They were chirpy. They had a chip on their shoulder. And I felt like we did too in Super Bowl 35 in that hole. And I'm curious, I'm not sure if the Ravens had that or not. That's not my point. The point is that you got to carry a lot of emotion into the game, and you got to have that swagger about you that you're going to hit them right in the mouth, and you know, you're not going to lose the game.
You said Lamar maturing enough to lead. You play young quarterbacks, old quarterbacks, legends, Hall of Famers, Hall of Pretty Gooders. And I mean, you had a whole life in New York and Cleveland long before I met you. Yeah. Watched you on TV make big kicks and miss a few too. You know, like that's the way the game's played. I was watching the game, and I watch on TV these days, and I'm sure you're aware. So I get to hear the commentary. And it is different for me. But when Tony Romo's saying, Lamar needs to calm his mind. He needs to calm his mind. Yeah. And all of the demonstrative pounding the ground. I know you played with Joe. Joe came on last week. Joe came back to Baltimore. I'm the only one he sat down with. We did a half an hour last week about how much crap he took about being calm and not pounding the ground and not yelling at teammates and having the notion that he didn't care. He wasn't full of fire. Boy, there's a delicate balance. I mean, you can win either way, but you cannot lose when you lose. You cannot win when you lose your composure. And I thought that the team really, and this is going to be brought up, and Harbaugh's going to have to deal. They're all going to deal with it. They lost their cool in the game, and penalties, problems, Roquan Smith hitting the guy, 12 guys on the field, Zay Flowers taunting, just down the line, Clowney, Pau Van Noy headbutting Kelsey and calling him a B-I-T-C-H. And like, so you see all of this when you're watching the game on TV, you're thinking they're kind of losing their cool. And that's tough because it felt like Kansas City was trying to get him. It felt like a hockey fight. It felt like they've been in these games before. They're going to poke at them because that's going to neutralize the crowd to some degree too.
I'll never forget Belichick saying, you know what, I'm going to have a team. We're going to be close going through the first half. We're going to figure things out. We're going to adjust coming out in the second half, and we're going to let the other team make the mistakes. You don't want to be the team that makes the mistakes. You want to be the team that is solid. They're going to hold on to their mental composure. I mean, there were times when Belichick used to help out kind of a couple of the defensive linemen to stoke the fire of Orlando Brown, if you remember Orlando.
Sure.
In practice, their job was to piss him off, to get him to retaliate, right? Because he had to learn how to hold on to his composure in practice, right? So those were intentional things that Belichick would do. And understanding that there is a fine line between, you know, having that chip and then having self-control too. You've got to make sure that you don't be that guy that makes those mistakes that end up, I mean, one 15-yard penalty kills a drive, just completely kills a drive most of the time. So when you go through that as a team, Nestor, you've got to be mature enough. And I'm not saying that they're not. I am saying, though, that if the mistakes, you know, as they happened yesterday, you remove four or five of those and really – you shouldn't have any of those type of penalties. It'll play a part in a game, and it did. It'll kill the momentum, and it'll create some frustration, on the sideline as well.
Matt Stover's here. He remembers the first time he met me. I remember the first time I met him on the day that the Ravens played the Raiders and won a football game. The beginning of this franchise, been a long, beautiful friendship between us, but more than the relationship with the fans. And you were there with the Flying Bee when people were making fun of the Barney outfits. And I had Vinny on a couple of years ago, and we caught up and did all of that. I don't know. I haven't Googled you. I haven't Wikipedia'd you. This is just off the back of tell everybody the head coaches that you played for one by one.
Yeah, Bill Parcells.
Okay, Hall of Famer.
Bill Belichick.
going to the Hall of Fame. Go ahead.
Ted Marchibroda.
Pretty good.
Okay. Brian Billick.
Uh-huh. Won a Super Bowl.
And then Jim Caldwell. So those four. So
won
those,
a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to times of leadership, I don't think of you as the skinny little kicker that came in and kicked. You were like a scientist about all of this. But more than that, you were really into the head game for yourself, for your golf game, the golf game of your foot and kicking the ball like the exact same way. It's a head game for you, for Justin Tucker. Kicker, it is a head game. You know how to do it. You can do it. And, you know, you physically have the ability to do it. And making a 35-yard kick that you've made a million times and you miss it, that's all about your head like a golf shot. Mm-hmm. And yet you played for these really serious leaders that you – I don't know if when you were hearing Bill Belichick's voice in Cleveland, you thought, this will be the greatest. This is Lombardi. I don't know that you really thought that at the time, right?
You see the gray hairs? I mean, I've got a few from Belichick, that's for sure. Bill Parcells wore
but
me
I
up.
Would think if you picked up things in your life, and I know you have, but for our audience, that you remember during dark times, bad times, that you're like, I learned that in football, and I learned that from somebody that told me to calm down. Calm down. Yeah. We can make better decisions when we're calm.
Well, control the controllables, right? I mean, you know, as an athlete, there's so much going around you in a football game that you cannot internalize. You cannot. So if you ever watch the kicker and stuff, I taught Sam Cook this and he taught it to Tucker. Sam was sitting there going in. He was on the sideline at first part of his career with the Ravens. And he was getting all fired up and, you know, up there on the sideline.
Well, he was a quarterback too in his day too, right? So he was involved. Right.
I said, Sam, sit your butt down on the bench and just forget what's going on out there. When it comes to be your time, then that's when you turn it on. This is a long season, dude. You do not want to get so emotionally wrapped up in these games. You just want to sit back, do your job, and do it extremely well. Prepare just for what you do. Because if you're out there holding on to this game emotionally for 3 hours, by the time the fourth quarter hits, especially as a field goal kicker, because you're going to come in and win the game, and you've been watching that, you're emotionally drained by the time it's time for you to get out there. So you got to preserve that adrenaline and not get into the cortisol, talking about science, right? And you got to preserve the adrenaline so you can calm yourself down in that moment to be able to take a deep breath and execute it without exposing too much emotion and missing the kick. Cause I've done it. I have done that where I went out there, I'm fired up. I'm on, you know, I've been watching the game and I had a hard week personally. And, you know, I buried one of my friends and I got out there and I shanked it wide left. It was in 2007 against the Miami Dolphins, if you remember. So then I pulled it left and I was all jacked up on Mountain Dew not literally, but you know, the emotional piece came to it and I just did not react properly in that moment and I missed a field goal.
Matt Stover is here. I mean, I would never ask you about one you miss. I try to ask you about the ones you make, but.
Oh, I remember the misses, bro. I remember the misses.
We all do, don't we? I mean, it's the truth, right? Yeah. Absolutely. So in regard to this miss for the franchise and its future and where they are and how harshly you get judged when you're second best and you lose your composure and you don't play your best game after playing, I don't say a flawless season because they screwed up a couple games. They shouldn't have lost at all, quite frankly. They had a lead at the 2-minute warning in every football game. I mean, it's kind of like even the Colts, your great Colts teams didn't do that. You were there. And I would say for them and picking this up, this gets harder and harder. And I think it gets heavier to carry it up the hill for Lamar, for John, for all of them, because this was – doesn't get better than playing at home with a bye, with full health, as a favorite, with a decent weather day to win, to go to a
opportunity.
Super Bowl.
You're right.
Well, I've been mentioning the Eminem song. Opportunity comes once in a lifetime, right?
Yeah, the opportunity was there, and it's going to be very painful for them today, without question. I would say this, you know, John's a great guy, got a great coaching staff. You've got a team that was highly, very, very mature. But let me say this, defense, when they can't get their offense off the field, right? The time of possession, I don't know what it was at the end of the game, but it was incredibly one-sided. And our offense didn't have the opportunity. That defense did not play up to my expectations. And, you know, you go back to Super Bowl 35 and the defense continued game in and game out, Nestor, and they continued to play at the highest level. And they did what they played to our identity. Our defense had to do a better job against their offense, and they didn't get it done yesterday. That's really where I felt like the game was lost, more than it was Lamar.
You played with greats in Peyton. Boy, what what this guy's doing at 28, four Super Bowls now, chance to win a third one. The only thing he hadn't done is played a road playoff game. He's 2-0 on the road now in Buffalo and Baltimore, beating Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I mean, there's a lot to be said for
absolutely
losing to him, and no shame in losing to him and Andy Reid.
Well, that's not how this defense sees it. And they saw themselves as an elite defense. I really believe that. And if I'm that team, I would take that on the chin from the defense perspective. Yes, the offense turned the ball over three times. Of course, you cannot turn the ball over in those situations. It happened. You know, one was on the goal line. Unfortunately, you know, he's trying to make a play and it didn't happen. But Lamar was back in the pocket and gets it stripped. I mean, the left tackle gets beat. Yeah, those are mistakes you can't do either. But if you really look at the time of possession, in my mind, I was on the New York Giants when we beat the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 25. And the whole premise of that game was to manage time of possession. And Jeff Hostetler and Otis Anderson did that with a running game and a short little passing game that they had during the course of that Super Bowl. Jim Kelly had the ball for like no time, and they didn't score enough points because they didn't have the ball. That's how I see a lot of yesterday going on as well.
Hard to neutralize the greatness of Ted Marchibroda and the K-Gun offense, Matt. But, people forget that, you know, you're on the other side of that one. That was, you know, that's one goal about the kicker, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Matt Stover's here. Tell me what you're doing in the real world. We saw you running around down at the Purple Palace on Sunday, being the grizzled, grayed veteran. You look dignified. Stately.
My wife likes it, so it's like, okay.
Sophisticated. How am I working all the debonair? Do you want me to go with all that? Because all that's coming for me. I mean, it's coming. Yeah. I shave it out of here. But you know, I got the long hair going now. You know, so
yeah, it just proves my age. I'm 56 as of Saturday on January 27th, that's nice. I love it.
I'm 55 and Marvin keeps thinking I'm dying it. And I said, Marvin, it wouldn't be gray in here if I was dying it. What's wrong with you? You know? So.
Mine's gray. All right. But I had my first grandchild on my birthday on Saturday. So.
Whoa. You're a grandfather?
Yeah, I'm a grandfather now.
Glad I asked you about your personal life, dude. You know, I wouldn't have known, you know?
Yeah. So that happened. She's my whole family's down in Texas now. My wife and I grew up there. So I'm down in Dallas. I'm running the Players Philanthropy Fund still. That's been amazing, being able to assist athletes and other individuals running their foundations. They run it through us. And, you know, Ed Reed's foundation uses the Players Philanthropy Fund, and we do all the back office. So, Nestor, it's been a blast to be able to help make this world a better place. And we take care of all the stuff that most people don't want to in the charitable world, which is the back office, all the finances, the bookkeeping, and all that. And we figured it out. And so the Players Philanthropy Fund is thriving. And so that's my day-to-day work. And got a great staff. And so right now I'm talking to you from Towson. I'm in the Exchange Building where the Players Philanthropy Fund is. And so we were there, and I'm here with my staff, and we're having a great day.
Well, you're off the hook next week for a cup of Super Bowl. In the future, however, this is going to be my Jerry Lewis. You know, I'm going to be doing this every year during Super Bowl week. We're going to call it a cup of Super Bowl. We might do coats next year. We're going to do food this year, see how we get going with that. But the bad news is our boy Slappy, Kyle Richardson's going to get stuck coming out at some point because he lives here. And, you know, you poor alums that live here, you're subjected to me, or more subjected to me. Brad Jackson, you're running from me. I'm looking for you, Brad. I got some of you guys skipping out on me, but I'll find all of you. Hey, dude, love you. Appreciate you all these years together. It's a tough one. And, you know, I hope we all live long enough to win a World Series and a Super Bowl, because now the Orioles are back in play. We at least have that to look forward to in a couple of weeks around here. Man, last year was unbelievable, Matt. 32 years on the air, right? I've lived here my whole life. I'm 55. First time that we've won the baseball division and football in the same year. So, I mean, good things are ahead. You know, there's still good things.
It's good, but it's like the culmination of all that, and then you don't win either. It's like, dang it.
You did have to bring that up, didn't you? While you're in Dallas where they had a parade. I got all Matt Stover is here. Find him at the Players Philanthropy Fund or find him at a, if you see a guy on York Road that looks like Matt Stover, probably is. So go up and say hello to number three. Hey, I appreciate you. Be well. All right.
See you, brother.
Matt Stover, he number three in your program, number one in your heart, as always, doing good stuff for charities. And that's what we're featuring all next week. It's a cup of Super Bowl. It's Crab Cake Row featuring 100, like literally the exact thing that Matt Stover does, 100 charities to illustrate how many good things are going on in Baltimore, despite the fact that we didn't make the Super Bowl. And if you bring anything good for the Maryland Food Bank, we give you a free cup of Super Bowl. So, say that real fast three times and we'll see how it goes. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop growing our hair long and talking Baltimore positive. Stay with us.